Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium with your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skill, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. It's also syndicated on missionsradio.org and liveleadplay.com. Go to Parent Pump Radio to leave your questions, comments, and suggestions for future shows. And be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed so you'll be automatically notified of new show. So happy new year, 2018. This is our first show of the new year. And last year, my first show, I had two dads come on and we kind of celebrated dads. And I had a few messages saying, hey, what about the moms? And so I thought, okay, so for 2018, our first show is going to be to celebrate the mom with appreciation and thankful. And so I have two guests on the show today. My first guest is Violet Takatz. She's a massage therapist here in Torrance, California. She's a mom to her 26-year-old daughter. She raised her daughter as a single mom. Our next guest, and you're very familiar with Abigail Wall. She's been here twice on the show. She's an expert guest on parenting. Her and I are also going to be partnering up for the new year to do some exciting things that we'll announce later on. She's a mom to two sons. 8-year-old and 10-year-old. Her eldest was born needing multiple heart surgery, and she encountered many medical challenges, and she really found strength inside herself to become an amazing mom herself. She works with hand-in-hand parenting. You can find more about Abigail on her previous show, or you can go to her website called realtimeparenting.com. Without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Violet. Hi, Violet.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you.
And Abigail.
Hello. How are you? I feel like I need to make a caveat there that thank you. And maybe this is a good way to kick off the show, but you're like an amazing mom. And I'm like, wait, am I an amazing mom? I'm okay.
We all are amazing mom. That's what this show is about. Want to celebrate us as moms. And I think that being a mom for me, I've learned so much. What about you guys?
Yeah, I've learned a lot about myself as well, being a mom.
I'd probably learn more because I'm a mom than I was before I became a mom. I think it forces you to become that better person.
Yes, it always makes you try harder and do the best you can for everybody around you, especially your kids.
Yeah, I know, Abigail, you were faced with some challenges when your son was younger. How has that changed you?
I think it changed me pretty fundamentally. It made me like much more aware of how dependent we are on other people. That if I had just sort of had my son in a vacuum, and I think in my 20s, I had a lot of health myself. And I think I felt like it was just up to me to decide sort of what I wanted to do or be or whatever, you know, and I would just sort of, I felt like almost separate a little bit from the world. And I think that for me personally, that was just my journey. And that when I had my first son, not only did it connect me to him in so many different ways, like it connected me. It connected me, you know, more to my husband. It connected me, you know, I remember watching the news and sort of seeing stories and realizing, oh my gosh, this is somebody's child. You know, that sounds so sort of banal, but like that sort of concept of really understanding that people really were all connected really didn't make sense to me. Like I understood it intellectually, but it didn't land in my body in the same way until I had a child. And then realizing how much help we needed for our firstborn son to be able to be healthy, how many doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists and, you know, just people along the way, and how much support I needed emotionally. Like all of a sudden I was like, oh, I am definitely not an island. And so it just really brought forth a lot of gratitude of how grateful I was to the people who were able to be there.
Now, Violet, were you a single mom from the beginning?
Yes, I actually, when I came to America, I was pregnant. I didn't speak the language, the English language. And then I came, my dad was already in America. So I moved in with him because I didn't know where else to go, right? They brought me in, my brother was here. But no, my daughter's father, who was my husband back then, he wasn't here. My mom was not here. I had no clue what to do with during pregnancy, or I didn't even know what it meant when they were at the hospital. My dad was calling, hey, when do we know when it's time to go to the hospital? It's when the water breaks. I go, so he's asking me, hey, did you have a lot of water come out? I go, I don't remember. I've been going to the bathroom a lot. So that's the experiences I had. Like I had no nothing, no knowledge of anything. So here I am ready to have a baby and going to the hospital. I can't even communicate to the nurse what's going on because I didn't speak English at all. Like nada, zilch, nothing. It was a tough period for me. I feel like the first, let's see, how old is the child was in fifth grade? It's like basically doing being a robot mom. I feel like I'm looking back at my past times, right? So I'm looking, okay, I went to work, went to school, tried really hard to put food on the table, and then do the same thing every day. Wake up, go to work, take the kids to school. And it's like, and I'm looking back, I'm like, what a waste of time for myself and my daughter, not creating relationship with her because I did what I knew.
Yeah.
I had a really hard childhood and I want to make sure she didn't have that. So then I went overboard with trying to give her everything and not focusing more on relation creations. And now when I see somebody, moms with little kids, I always tell them, make sure you, whatever you can, have time with the kid because time goes by so fast. They grow up so fast. You don't have time to make any memories. You don't have time to make any connections with them.
I think that first child is very difficult. It sounds like both of us, all three of us, because no matter how many books you read and no matter what people say, you just can't prepare for that first child. I remember the sleepless night and just everything was so new and it was very difficult at the time. My husband, we're divorced now, but you know, he worked out of town a lot. And when he was in town, he worked very long hours. So I was lucky enough to have my family, my sister, who would come up on the weekends and spend the night so that she could help us. Otherwise, I don't know how I could have handled it because like Violet said, you know, you are like a robot. It just felt like, okay, try to feed yourself, feed the baby and just get a few hours of sleep a night.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. For me, luckily, my dad and my brother would pitch in, would helping out. And then when I started working full time, I had to have my neighbor who didn't speak English, spoke only Spanish. So I had to babysit my daughter and take care of her while I was working. And that's how I found myself learning Spanish faster than learning English.
Yeah, I think for me, Abigail, you mentioned about being that island and you're alone. And in the beginning, I did felt that way a little bit, like it was just me and my daughter. I really felt the community after I got a divorce. People seemed to rally around me when I decided the marriage was not working and I'm going to be a single mom and taking care of my kids. My family was so much more supportive. I guess because they felt like, oh, she's alone now. She needs more help or something. I had friends that stepped up, new friends that stepped up, and it made me really want to become a better person.
Yeah. I think it is so interesting, this idea of everybody's experience is different. And I think some people may have had more prior personal experience. I also didn't know what it was going to be like to be a mother. I didn't have that in my DNA. I hadn't grown up around children. I was an only child. My own mother was not particularly maternal. She loved me a lot, but she was not very maternal in the ways one normally thinks of that. And so, yeah, it was very awkward to learn all of that in a way that felt on your own, which is why, you know, for me, when I did find hand-in-hand parenting, it was really life-changing. And why hearing both of your stories just for me again, it really does connect to why every day I think it's so important to reach out. Mothers, like we are on the front line of those first few years of helping someone find themselves. And when we are unmoored, when we are unsupported, it's an impossible task to expect our child to be centered. You know, the mothers are really the ones that need support. We need help in that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, especially like you said, Abigail, you have to know yourself and be really centered and grounded, because if you can't lead yourself, how can you lead someone else, really?
Yeah.
I know for me, my mother was the same way. She was very good at taking care of the family, but she was not maternal or motherly. You know, there wasn't a lot of hugs and kisses. It was just not in the Asian culture. It's more cultural, I think, than anything. There's not a lot of affection. Parents are parents. They just take care of the children. As I grew up, I didn't really get a lot of affection. And now what I've done is incorporated what was great. She, you know, she was so good at taking care of us and showing us the values of a family and of how to become a parent, those values and foundation and boundaries. And but then now I know that I need to add those physical touch, those caring moments. So I feel like the way I parent now is a whole new dimension. I've taken what worked and improved that, and what didn't work, I have changed it in a way so that my children can benefit from it. What about you, Violet? What have you learned that you have changed?
Well, so same thing with my culture, or at least in my family, when we grew up, there was no physical touch. There was no hugs and kisses that I remember of. So I remember when I had my daughter and I'm holding her in my hand and I'm looking down at her as she's nursing. And I'm like, it felt weird to feel the sensation. I actually love my baby, but it was even more weirder to say, I love you, to my own kid, because it was just so foreign language to me. Because to me, love, when you translate it in my language, basically it means the connection between, you feel between the sexual stuff. So I don't want to translate that, right? To me, that was a taboo. You couldn't say that to a stranger or to a family member that, hey, I love you. In fact, I still hear that from some of my friends and family from Romania. It's why you keep telling everybody I love you. It's like, it's not normal. For me, it was hard to get used to hugging my family members, my daughter, and even when she was a teenager, it was still very awkward to hug my own kid. I never really got to be very comfortable. So right now, when she gives me a hug and I give her a hug, I still have that thought run through my head, uncomfortable, but I just try to let go and just enjoy the moment.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we all come with that programming of whatever our prior experiences have been, and it does affect us. And it's one of those things that sometimes you don't even know what that programming is until it's challenged. So it's like you could have gone your whole life, and if you didn't have a child, it's like that would never have gotten questioned, right? Oh, yeah. But then you've got a child and it questions everything. I think that's such a beautiful example of how having a child brings into question all these assumptions you've made about your life that you might not even know you've made. Like for me, it was about being an island. I didn't know that I thought I was an island. I just all of a sudden realized, wow, I guess I'm not, you know? So yeah, I think it's so interesting. And I think another interesting thing about being a mom is, like, you know, just circling back to sort of what I said, the first thing I said is like this feeling we all have of, am I doing enough, and wanting it to be perfect, and we have so much love. And so then it's like, well, you want to fix whatever wasn't there and keep what was there that was good and make it all better. And even the fact that Jacqueline, I'm like, wait, no, I'm not amazing. It's so hard for us to claim the sort of birthright as of what it is for all of us. Like we are all amazing. And like every human being is like the stories that people carry, their own individual stories. You could be on a subway and just like every person next to you has an incredible story. I think that to be a mother, you then take on a whole other additional level of truly, I mean, literally caring for someone's survival on a very basic level, right? And then all of the emotions and all of the rest of being a container that we are. It is an incredible experience. And yet then we want to be perfect. And it's so hard to acknowledge all that we are and have done, and yet so important. And so important to strive for more, and yet so important to also like acknowledge perfection will never be. And that just being there, just making it through every day and doing your best, that's great. Like it is great. And I think that's an interesting thing to wonder about as mothers. We spend so much time giving. I think it's uncomfortable for us to take sometimes.
Yeah. Even if it's a compliment.
I know, right?
Yes. It's hard. It's easier for us to give. We give. That's what we do. I mean, that's kind of what the role is of giving. it's important to remember to take.
With the years, I started learning how to receive as well, because I was always giving and pushing away people's help or people's gifts and stuff, till I started going for some, what is it called, self-help or better yourself seminars and stuff. I'm sure there is a way you guys know it said. That's when I had many aha moments about me being a mom or me being as a person, how me being the person is affecting everything around my life and is affecting my child. And the biggest thing that came to me was I was trying to raise my child as if I was raising myself. So I want to do certain things so I can look good in other parents' eyes, that, oh my God, my daughter's going to Ivy League college, so she's got to go this way so I can, oh my God, show off that what an amazing mom I am. And luckily, I woke up just before she went to college, and I ended up with the freedom of telling her that, hey, you know what, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. You don't need to go here. You don't need to go there. So next thing you know, like 2-3 weeks before high school ended, she's like, hey, I changed my mind. I'm not going to this college. I'm going to that college, and I tell you why. So she became her own little person. She had her own voice, because I was raised in suppression. I was raised, I had no voice. I was raised, I am not good enough. I was raised all this stuff. And basically all the way up to almost college years, I raised my daughter that way, because I didn't do better. And then all these years, I'm like beating myself over my head, like, oh my God, I'm a terrible mom. I could have done better. I couldn't do this. And that seminar I went to helped me see all this stuff about myself and accept I did the best I could. And then she'll turn out the way she'll turn out. And if she is going to see me constantly bettering myself, and thank God to the men in my life who introduced us to this kind of work to us, then she will start working on the stuff that, I don't know, scarring, I would want to call, because we scar our own children. At least that's how I look at our own stuff. It's not even her stuff.
Yeah.
How did it change? How did your relationship change when you changed?
This is what she's telling me. She's like, Mom, you're a totally different mom. As far as I know, you never laughed before. You never smiled before. You're a totally different. You're an amazing woman. And she's like, she's telling me, I love you. You know, like, and for me, it's a big deal.
Wow.
When our children validate us for what they say, for me, it's so much more powerful that the work that I've done on myself really show. Because like Violet was saying, I came from a culture like that too, of suppression. I had to learn that too. And when I started changing and just being a better person and letting go of my scar, there's always scars that you have and you have to be able to look at it, took what I needed to learn from it, let go of the emotion that I had in there, because I am good enough. I am smart enough. I am powerful enough. And I'm an amazing mom. When I started doing that, is when my children really started seeing a different person and really enjoy being with me. And I use them as my gauge. You know, every 2 weeks we have a family meeting. We talk about what's going on, what they like, what they don't like, what should we change about each other. So we kind of use that gauge as barometer to praise each other, like Abigail was saying. So it makes me feel like, okay, I'm going the right direction. Or, okay, I need to tweak this a little bit.
That's awesome.
I think one other thing that I've learned from being a mother that has changed me is there's just so much less time.
Yeah.
So I've gotten really, like, much better at prioritizing and much better at time management. And I've gotten much better about being really clear and direct and getting my needs met. And I think I've also gotten, I don't know, better at not multitasking, because I don't think you can ever really multitask, but at being able to sort of juggle a lot of different things and understand how to make it all work. Get less overwhelmed, really, to be just unbelievably productive.
Yeah.
Like I literally step back and I'm like, how is that possible?
Yep.
That I've accomplished all that in a month or a year or a week or a day. And so that has been quite thrilling, actually, to be able to
do
that.
I want to add something to that. What I noticed about a lot of parents who know how to juggle a lot, it has to do with how we were raised. We had to do a lot of stuff when we grew up, right? When I was a child, I remember the parents made us do the dishes. They made us clean. They made us do this. Well, looking at me and my daughter's relationship when she was in middle school or lower at grade school, I didn't want her doing anything. I wanted her to focus on schoolwork, which took away some of the skills for her to learn how to manage her time. She is now learning how to manage herself in time, because you can't really manage time. You can only manage yourself and your activities in the particular time, right? So another thing I recognize, and my fiance told me, she's like, you keep enabling her. You keep enabling her. Let her do dishes. Let her do this. No, you don't understand. The grades are more important. I want her to go to this Ivy League college, right? I didn't know what I was doing back then. I just knew I wanted her to have good grades and have a good life. I figured if she goes to a good school, she'll have an awesome life. Well, I'm looking around. That's not true. You can have an awesome life even if you haven't finished college, right? Look at me. I have an awesome life.
Yeah.
It's learning to appreciate everything about everybody else that's good, and learning to appreciate things in me that makes me see what's good out there. Because before, I did not love myself. I did not appreciate anything of myself. Nothing was good enough for it. Even if it was an A, it still wasn't good enough. It had to be an A plus, right?
Yeah.
Expecting it from my child. So once I learned to appreciate myself, love myself, accept things, everything started evening out a little bit more. So I was I would create more space for others to show up the way they could show up. So recognizing that, hey, taking chores away from kids, it's not helping anybody. It gave me more work. It gave them less experience in organizing themselves. I think it's important to have the kids participate in everyday life, no matter if they're 2 years old or 16 years old.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I like the appreciation. For me, how I really learned how to appreciate myself, this is kind of weird, was to listen. Before, I never really truly knew how to listen. It was always either I would hear and then I would push it away. Like someone would say, gosh, that was so amazing that you did, or you're so great. I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to hear it. That's not me. So I would push it away, or they would give me constructive criticism. You could do it better. And I would be more defensive, like, what? No, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. One thing I learned as a mom is when I started really listening and just, I think it was a coach, or it's probably through coaching and through taking all these seminars where they said, really sit and listen to what people are saying to you. Take it in. Take the compliments. Take the appreciation. Take the constructive feedback. And just try it on. Just even if it's for 5 seconds, try that on and see how that fits, and then respond. And I realized that when I just took any of those things that people say to me and tried it on and say, how does that feel? That's me. That's what people see me as. Do I like it? Do I not? How could I change? How could I make it different? When I started letting go of the anger and the fear and the sadness and the hate, because people were telling me things that I didn't want sometimes to accept.
Yeah.
And look at you. You came a long way and you're an amazing young woman.
I think we're still on that journey, right?
Yes. We're always going to be parents forever. And we're always growing and learning, right? And now we're learning from our kids. My daughter sometimes has coaching sessions for me.
Oh.
You know?
Hey, my daughter's 13 and my son's 10, and I learn from them all the time.
And believe it or not, it's still sometimes hard for me to let my child be a coach. To say, hey, I'm supposed to be the mom. I'm supposed to know everything, you know, but then you have to put that ego behind you and let the person in front of you tell you what they need to say, because they see you better than you see yourselves, because we have all these different filters about ourselves. We have all these labels about ourselves that we label and pin on our foreheads and in our brain, and some people see us who really are. So when they have to say something, I think it's a like you said, take it on for 5 minutes and see how it feels. And if it's not true, then no.
And I think especially for our children, other people, they might have agendas or whatever, jealousy. They might be saying something to you that has ulterior motive. I believe when our children speak to us, they're coming from love and truth. And if they say they don't like it when you do something, or they like it when you do something, it is from deep love that they want you to be a better person, to be a better parent for them. Everything my children say, I take it in, because I know they're only coming from the heart.
I think that's another thing. You know, I'm just listening to you guys, and I think something else that I've learned along the way is that we really are like really independent, different people. You can't control who your child is. Your children come out who they are. And it's your job to sort of go on that journey with them and be sort of like the banks of the river. But the river and what the river's made of, it's like, that's theirs. That's their life force. We can learn from them and we can connect with them and love them and make that space and time and all that. But at the end of the day, like, their journey is their journey. And we can influence certain things, certainly, and provide or not provide or all of that. But at the end of the day, I think one of the things I've learned is like, my children have a deep rightness about them, even when it doesn't feel right to me. There may be things I wish were different, but it's not for them. And however it is for them is exactly how it should be. That's my filter. It's my life. It's my whatever. I don't know. I just think there is only so much we can control, and learning to truly love another as they are, not for what they give you, you know, which sort of goes back to what you were talking about, Violet, to really just love someone else for who they are, whether it's convenient for you or not, whether you agree with it or not, whether it's going to get you something that makes you feel good about yourself or not, but to just selflessly, completely show up for someone else's journey. I think that's something that had never happened to me before I had children. Even with a partner, like, I loved my husband, but we were only together for a few years before we had kids, just a couple of years. And so I loved him, but part of that was because of loving how much fun I had when I was with him. You know what I mean? That's like, yeah, that's a different thing than like loving someone who's really challenging you. That's something I think that's like a whole other level of love.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that happens with children.
Sometimes I hear this, if you're not going to do this, then I'm not going to love you. It's like, this to me is such a wrong way to motivate something or yeah, a child. And you put that idea in the head, especially when the kid is small, and then they grow off it like, oh my God, I have to do everything for everybody else so I can be loved. You know? And then instead of the person who they could really be, now they're growing up with this barrier, with this limitation, with this squishing over the head stuff.
Yeah.
It was interesting for me because coming to America, I didn't know there's books. I didn't know there's classes. I mean, if I would have known, I wouldn't understand anything anyway. So after I had my baby, I mean, my dad was awesome with my brother, right? Because they tried to do the best for me to help me out as much as they could. I remember going to swap meets, buying clothes for the baby or for us, right? I didn't know about Nordstrom, and all I knew was Kmart and Target and swap meet. Time went by and I go and I see these little beautiful dresses, like, oh my gosh, now my daughter's too old to buy those little things, right? So having the courage to go up to a parent who we know, especially that they are from a different country, they don't speak much language like English, and just take them on as a, I don't know, like a friend or like somehow a mentor or something that will help not only that parent, but it'll help the kid along. I think that would be such an amazing project to do. It's you know, when you go and you do the let's have a father for a day, I think there's a program like that, right? That men go and then they go to these kids who have no fathers and they spend a day with them. I think it would be awesome to take on a pregnant mom or a soon-to-be mom or a mom who already had a baby and then just spend a day or two with them, like, I don't know, once a month or something, to educate them, to teach them, to show them things that, hey, if you can learn from my mistakes that I've done in these years, your relationship with your child's going to be a better place. We're going to have better people growing up. I'm not saying there's bad people right now. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying more and more balanced, like you guys say, more balanced kids growing up.
Yeah, I agree. We have a couple minutes left. Any last word, Abigail?
I just thank you. Thank you for getting us together. And I guess I would say, you know, it's the new year and I think people are really busy making all sorts of resolutions about what kind of parent they're going to be this year or all of that. I just encourage everybody to absolutely walk in with abandon, knowing that you're going to fail 86,000 times between now and next January. And that's all good because you're going to hopefully win 86,001. And it really isn't a score. Like, it really, really, truly is, I think, about just being present in the moment and learning to listen to yourself about whatever's the next right step. I think there's no great way to be this right parent or wrong parent. I think people get so intense on all that. I just encourage us all to be willing to just fail and show up and whatever that means.
Any shout out, Abigail?
There's so many things I could shout out to, Jacqueline. Okay. I'm excited to work with you this year. I'm very excited for what we're going to do.
I know.
Very excited. Please do tune in, Jacqueline and Parent Pump Radio. And also I'll be shouting out about it on Real Time Parenting.
Right. So Violet, what about you? Any last helpful hints, word of wisdom?
Yeah, well, I can only come from myself. And what helped me was to be more open to looking at myself, looking at my past, looking at my thoughts and ideas and how that restricts people. So my word is to be open to bettering yourself every day. What can you do about yourself to better even just one thing about yourself? And you might need practice. You're not going to get it right all the time, right? So, but having the idea that, hey, I'm going to be better at certain things, or I'm going to be working on letting go of my past or letting go of the past experiences that have been driving me in one direction, see what can open up and just make peace with yourself. And this way everybody else will be more happier around us.
I agree. I think for me, it's really like to kind of piggyback off that, you know, bettering yourself. I always want to feel like I'm growing, that I'm learning, and that I'm changing in some ways. Otherwise, I just feel like I'm dying. And so I hope that everyone out there also, instead of just maybe making a New Year's resolution just for the sake of it, you know, first appreciate who you are, where you came from, and how far you've come. From that place to make a resolution that you're growing, to be always a better person. Keep listening for feedback from people around you. I think that's so important. Ask your husband, your mate, your children, your coworker, how am I doing? Can I be better? What do you suggest? When you open that window, that door for other people to give you feedback, it's very surprising what people will say.
Yeah. I was also just touching on one more thing is give space to the child. Listen to the child. See what the child truly wants. Do they want to do soccer? Do they want to do baseball? Or are we forcing them into something they're not really happy with? That is such a big difference when you give a child the space to express themselves the way they want to. It's just parenting becomes a lot more easier.
Awesome. Well, to all the moms out there from all three of us, I know we love you. We appreciate you. And we honor all of the support that you give all of us and to yourself. Have an amazing 2018.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.